If you really think hard about your life, the moments where something didn't go your way, and after years have passed, how it has shaped your life, your choices, and where you are right now, I bet if you look hard enough, you will start seeing those moments in time where you ultimately felt that failure that I thought I had at the time was such a blessing. Hello, my name is Pavel Rzhov. Thank you so much for joining me today. In this episode, I wanted to talk about transitioning from working in a laboratory to field application scientist position. This transition has been very interesting in my case. I have done this over 4 years ago now, and I wanted to shed some light on what that journey was like and really illustrate that for anybody who feels that they are kind of nearing the feeling that this lab work, this research work is not for me anymore, and you feel like you're meant for something else. This is hopefully my story will help you understand that you're not alone, maybe explain why you may feel this way, and that's okay, and what that transition may look like, and what your options might look like actually in terms of finding the next thing where you can feel satisfied, where you can have your own purpose again. I think field application scientist career is one of the best choices that I personally made in my life, and I feel like a lot of people who have similar mindset, who came to similar realizations at the end of their graduate school, for example, I feel like this is a perfect next step. So in this episode, what I wanted to cover is, again, my journey of breaking into the biotech industry, joining the company as field application scientist, overcoming those imposter syndromes, kind of what I was feeling at the end of my PhD, really building confidence of what I realized I needed to get, what skills I needed to demonstrate in order to land that job successfully. And obviously that transition story, there is a lot of different struggles I had to overcome, also learning from failures in terms of, my job applications not being read, some of the thoughts that I considered at the time, and ultimately what I learned from all of that. So let's jump right into it. Again, my name is Pavel, so I've been an international student. I've been an international PhD student in San Diego, and I graduated in February 2020. And as you can imagine, February 2020 was a very interesting time in the world. It was right before the pandemic started, and what that really meant, practically speaking, is there was a lot of uncertainty in the job market. Probably, in many ways, it's similar to now, where there's a lot of layoffs, nobody quite knows what to expect. But back then, it was even wilder, if you can imagine. And in my case, as I was nearing my PhD, so right before completion of my PhD, right before that, I already started feeling, what is it that I wanted to do? Started considering different career options, and certainly that was the time where I didn't quite know what my position should look like. As an international student, I just wanted to take something so I would not get kicked out of the country. I had 60 days after my graduation to basically land a job, and ultimately I was ready for anything. But importantly, I've started talking with graduate students recently in the last few months or so, as I started to develop my field application scientist sort of coaching methodology, if you will, I started to realize that a lot of people have this imposter syndrome as they near their graduation. And what that really manifests as is specifically feeling of, liking working in the lab, but also not, right? It's being comfortable doing experiments, but not really getting the same satisfaction as before. It's really feeling that academic career may not be for them. They don't want to do postdoc. They kind of want to get out of that entire world, if you will, and just do something else. And that's kind of how I felt as well at the time. But I obviously didn't quite understand what that means for me, because for a longest time, and maybe you can relate to that as well, we've been taught, like, as scientists, as students of life sciences, that we obviously enjoy, you know, learning about science, scientific discoveries, and all that stuff. But somehow it also implies that we need to enjoy working in a lab. And for the longest time, I felt like that doesn't make sense. There should be something else, like that definition of like liking life sciences, liking reading books and textbooks, but doing pipetting at the same time does not always need to go hand in hand. And what I realized, the way I like to think about it, and that once I understood that, it made a lot of sense that science is not the same thing as research. So hear me out. This can sound a little bit weird, but that's how I like to think about it in my brain. When we think about science, we think about enjoying reading textbooks, enjoying learning about how our bodies work, how our world works around us in all different aspects. We enjoy that sort of, all the different things that we've discovered along the ways over the decades and hundreds of years of scientific exploration and research. We kind of, you know, craving that knowledge, we have that curiosity. However, when we get to the graduate school, for example, when we really have to do our own research projects, where we have to apply scientific methods to discover something new, to advance the field forward, we come to realization that, well, we might enjoy reading about it and all that stuff, but we not necessarily enjoy doing it as much as we thought we might. And that's a very important distinction. Just because you enjoy reading about something, you're curious about something, doesn't necessarily mean you have to enjoy, you know, doing it. Some people are, and that's great. Those what I would call researchers. Those are professionally trained scientists who enjoy doing research, applying scientific methodology, using instrumentation and tools and methods to push our scientific understanding forward. So this is the career researcher, if you will. And not everybody is like that. Now, we can still remain curious about science, and we can be, I feel like I qualify as a scientist, and probably so do you, but we don't have to be researchers in order to be called scientists. And that's, once I understood that, it all made sense. I did not feel like an imposter anymore. It just meant that me being a scientist and not being a researcher means I have to do something else. I enjoy something else. And what ultimately I have arrived at is I've realized that I am actually enjoying learning new things and teaching them to other people. Not necessarily doing new things or, you know, working in a lab and so on. So I'm very curious, comment in the comments below and let me know if you actually feel this way and you feel this dissonance between wanting to be a scientist but not really wanting to be a researcher. Does that distinction make sense to you? Does that sort of help you explain what you are feeling internally, and does that hopefully alleviate your imposter syndrome? I'm really curious to know what you think, because personally to me that made perfect sense. Once it clicked, I use this in any discussion I have with students. It really opens their eyes in feeling like, oh wow, I never thought about it this way. And that, you know, sort of makes sense. So that's kind of point number one in terms of my understanding of my transition. That was really the turning point where I felt like, okay, in fact, I don't need to continue working in the lab in order to still, you know, feel valued. I just need to figure out something else that I can do where I can add value. And this is where obviously transitioning to biotech industry really opened my mind in a lot of ways on where I can add value. Now, depending on what you know already about biotechnology industry, certainly you may know of different types of careers. You know, you might consider just a scientist working in the lab. That's one type of, you know, career that probably everybody can imagine. But there's a lot more different careers: marketing, product management, sales, medical science liaison, field application scientist, all those different terms that, you know, you might just get thrown at you and without fully knowing how they all fit together. Ultimately, this video is not about diving into all of those topics by any means, or really diving into how biotechnology industry is structured. But to me, the one career that sort of spoke to me kind of earlier on in some way was a field application scientist position. And specifically, once I realized what it is, the reason it spoke to me was because I really enjoyed talking about science, as I mentioned, and not so much doing the science as much. And I feel like that particular career path is super interesting from that standpoint, because it really leans into the communication aspects of science and research, and less so into the, you know, hard, you know, working in the lab day after day and so on. So in my case, ultimately that's what I felt I gravitated towards the most. But by any means, I don't want to say like, oh, I just, as soon as I realized that, okay, that's the position I was applying for, and that was the end of the story. I eventually landed it. It actually was more complicated than that. So it certainly is a potentially very long story, and maybe one day it can even be a short little chapter in a book. But my journey to become an application scientist, that's what I ultimately became after I graduated, actually started way before I graduated, before I even started my PhD, as a matter of fact. And in my case, it really started from a conversation I had with a sales rep for a company I eventually started working for about two years before I graduated. And actually, no, a year before I graduated. But I first used the instruments from the company I eventually became an application scientist for before my PhD, so actually 4 years before that. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with what field application or application scientist does, they are essentially a face of the company. In the case of field application scientist, they're in front of customers explaining what the technology, what the product does, training users, the scientists, maybe helping troubleshoot some issues as needed, and really being responsible for customer success. They're not selling the instruments. This is the job for business development managers or account executives or just salespeople, if you will. But field application scientists support those activities before the instrument or product just in general gets sold, and afterwards, ensuring customer success. They get trained, scientists are successful using the technology. Maybe you already met them while working in the lab. You might have those representatives coming over, maybe giving some trainings or seminars or whatnot. That's what that position is all about. And ultimately, this particular company that I eventually joined, I used their instruments before even I was in my PhD for a short 3 month internship. And that was certainly very, very helpful when I was interviewing for that position. Again, this video is not about like a play by play what happened, how I got this position, but just sort of to illustrate that my understanding of I didn't want to work in a lab anymore, together with an understanding that I really enjoyed talking about science, really what catapulted me towards feeling strongly towards a transition into industry, and specifically looking for that communication role that sort of marries the science that I really enjoy and understand, plus just my desire to talk to people and just enjoying that communication aspect. So that's really the mindset I had at the time. So the next part of this process is, and I really want to, you know, emphasize those things, is how do we build confidence in terms of feeling that we're ready to take that next step? Certainly, as you get towards your graduation and you're starting thinking about your next career option, while you may still have that imposter syndrome to some extent, how do we change that? How do we really ensure that you are successful in terms of even your mindset, thinking that you are ready for that next step? Because biotechnology industry, from the outside, from being just in academia, may sound kind of like, am I even ready for that? I don't know a thing about business. I don't know how it really works. What do I need to know to feel confident that I can even do that, that I can transition right after my PhD, for example, or even before that, if you're just doing master's, for example? I think anybody who has those questions, that's okay. That's very natural. Certainly, there's this fear of unknown. And this is what I could say to that. It certainly is worth taking a hard look in the mirror, if you will, feeling like, what do I actually know and what do I don't know about how a company works? How does a biotech company or business, is it really structured? What's the role of a field application scientist, for example, if you're interested in that specific career? how do I even educate myself about it? That's not something you necessarily learn by just pipetting in a lab, right? And there's several strategies to learn about that, to build that confidence. The way I've done it personally, over the years of working in as a grad student, I started reading some newsletters, just picking some bits of information here and there, engaging in networking events, just talking to different people who already transitioned, just learning about their different career paths, learning what it's like to work for different companies. Like, for example, I spoke to a marketing specialist from Thermo Fisher, or field application scientist from Cytiva, or like a salesperson from another company, medical science liaison from a pharma company, and so on and so forth. So I really just educated myself over the last, let's say, couple of years of my grad school, slowly building my understanding. But if you're not in that position, if you're already kind of getting towards the graduation and now you're feeling a little bit of a crunch time, what can you do to really boost that confidence? Certainly, there are some great career resources. Like you can subscribe to several newsletters that I can recommend, but that may be kind of diluted knowledge. It's not super structured. Certainly, you can reach out to me. I have a number of different solutions that I can recommend. It's either personal coaching or taking some classes that I'm putting together for those purposes exactly. Certainly, what is important for broadly, besides just specific knowledge on how biotechnology industry works, is just taking a step back and feeling like you are actually worth more than you think you are. You have enough knowledge and enough experience. You just need to think about it critically in terms of what have you done over the last several years that you can A, put on your resume, B, sort of take good stock of, and just feeling like, yes, you've accomplished something. And I'm not talking just research papers, because certainly it helps and it's a big testament to the work that you've done. I'm talking about other experiences besides working in a lab. What else have you done? Who did you mentor? Maybe some undergrad students. Where did you volunteer? Did you do an internship? Or did you have a gap year? Or what else have you done over the last 8 or 10 years of your life, maybe after high school and so on, that sort of give you other perspectives on life, on the world outside of academia, on the world of outside of a laboratory? And I feel like a lot of people don't immediately think about those things when they're considering their next career step. They feel like they haven't done anything or whatever else. And I encourage you to not feel that way, and in fact, just again, take a hard look in yourself, in the sense that just, again, maybe if it helps, write down all the different things that you've done, different experiences like internships or mentoring opportunities that you've engaged in over the last 8 years or so, and just take a hard look and feel like you've actually done some things beyond just pipetting skills. You actually have a lot more to offer. And if not, if you still have a little bit of time, there's different ways to educate or expose yourself to those additional, let's say, extracurricular activities, if you will, and boost the confidence that way. But ultimately, that's what, you know, is very important, to get away from that imposter syndrome. It's super critical, and I feel like it really will set you up for thinking differently about yourself, for feeling confident about yourself. To me, I knew I already did some other things. Like I was a student tutor in different universities that I was working at. I worked in a small research setting with other students, kind of completing a research project. I worked, I volunteered in a couple of different places. I took a communication class, I took a small, like a micro MBA class, and so on. So I was already feeling reasonably confident about myself, but even for me, I was still feeling like, gee, do I have enough, you know, to show for in my interview or on my resume when I would interview for a position in an industry? And in fact, I was able to demonstrate that, and I don't feel like I had any specific tremendous, you know, leg up over so many other candidates. Certainly, I wasn't the smartest, I wasn't, you know, whatever. Ultimately, it's all about feeling confident with what you have done. I feel like that's the main take-home message. And applying that strategically when you communicate to anybody, whether it's your hiring manager or just somebody you meet at a networking event. If somebody asks you what have you done besides the lab work, you will be confident to say, okay, I've done this and that, and so on. So that's the mindset adjustment. I feel like everybody needs to really, you know, go through that exercise to be able to break into the industry, because ultimately in an industry, you know, in biotech industry, everybody treats you as an adult. Everybody is adults already at that point. There's no kitty gloves, if you will. The last thing I wanted to mention is, in the process of breaking into biotech industry, there's something to be said about learning from failure. Now, in the context of the mindset that I was talking about and the overall process of transitioning from academia to industry, not that road is by any means easy or straightforward. There is certainly trial and error in terms of the job application strategy, resume building, interviewing, negotiating. There's so many different things that could, you know, trip you up, or where you might not do your best work or whatever else. And even before that, during your PhD, as you kind of getting towards that completion, you had to overcome so many different challenges and failed so many experiments and so on. I certainly have. Ultimately, each of those things inevitably does lead you to growth, to the final outcome that you desire. And in fact, I'll go one step above that, and I would really stress the fact that even when you perceive something as failure, or that something that didn't turn out the way you expected, it actually leads to a better outcome. You just might not realize that yet. Case in point, and this directly relates to me becoming a field application scientist in my first job after I graduated. And that's a very interesting lesson and an interesting point in time. As I mentioned, before I started my PhD, I had an internship where I used the instruments of the company that I eventually was actually representing as a field application scientist. So that's 4 years before I joined the company. Now, what's interesting, the way I got that internship was a referral from a professor I reached out to a professor in a lab that I really wanted to do an internship, undergraduate internship at the time. That was 2015. And that professor said, unfortunately, I don't have any availability in my lab for an internship for this time, but why don't you reach out to this professor and maybe they will be willing to take you on. And at first, because by the way, I really wanted to get into that specific lab first, and I was really bummed when I got that response. And I was like, okay, well, thank you very much. I will reach out to this other professor. If I didn't do that, if I treated that as a failure, and it was kind of like, okay, that's a setback. I wasn't expecting that. I was really hoping I would get in. But that second lab where I did get the internship is what ultimately led me to my first career. But that was almost predetermined in many ways 5 years before I got that job. Now think about that for a second. If you really think hard about your life, if you think at the moments where something didn't go your way, and after years have passed, how it has shaped your life, your choices, and where you are right now, I bet if you look hard enough, you will start seeing those moments in time where you ultimately felt that, gee, I just, that failure that I thought I had at the time was such a blessing. And honestly, there's a number of those situations where I could trace those abject failures as something that propelled me forward and truly defined the trajectory that I'm on right now. Now, honestly, I feel like everybody has those stories. So many serendipitous stories, events, chance interactions, failures, if you will, or setbacks that opened new doors, new opportunities, and ultimately are responsible for where you are right now. And I feel like this is something that's extremely important, that learning from failure or appreciating those setbacks as they come, knowing and having confidence that they will actually open the new doors, lead you to where you want to be, is extremely important. It's very comforting thought. And I don't mean to, that's not me being religious about it or stuff like that. If that's how you perceive it, that's fine. To me, I just feel like, I don't feel like I'm guided necessarily. Maybe that's one way to describe it. But I certainly feel like it all makes sense in hindsight. I'm very grateful for how that path has unfolded for me and how it shaped my life. And this is extremely encouraging thought that even if there is a failure at any given point in life, it teaches you something, it opens new doors, it opens new possibilities. So those are the three stories, three take-home messages, if you will, is don't feel like an imposter. It's likely you have done a lot already to encourage yourself to go out there, and don't just be stuck being in the lab. I feel like, again, a lot of people think that they must be researchers if they love science. I don't think that's the case. I think you can be a scientist but not be a researcher. So I'm curious to know what you think. The second take-home message is you can build your confidence by just taking inventory of everything amazing that you've already done over the last years that you've been on this journey. It's extremely important to not lose sight of those achievements, because if you don't think about them, if you don't really think of yourself as a success story, nobody else will, frankly. And that's very important when you converse with others. And if you're interested in as being a field application scientist, you have to project that confidence, and you have to be able to articulate that very well with others. And certainly that extends way beyond just being an application scientist into many other careers that require communication skills. And the last thing is you can certainly learn from failure by just taking another look at yourself and really feel where did your life take you when one door was closed and the other one opened. Just really trace that trajectory and just feel grateful. I feel like, again, to me, that's nothing but great gratitude that I feel over my life journey, how certain things just predetermined the path that you are on right now. And all those things hopefully will shape your successful transition into biotech industry. I feel like a lot of people are in this position where they hear a lot of stories about layoffs, or they're not feeling like postdoc is the right thing for them. There's just sort of juxtaposition of what is it that I should do? How should I do it? Is it even worth it? Am I going to get paid? And so on. There's a lot of good questions out there to consider. It's certainly a big decision for anybody. It was for me at the time, but I'm here to tell you it's going to be okay. It's going to be a very simple process if you follow, you know, if you follow certain steps. And the first step, I feel kind of that's the moral of this particular episode, is really coalescing around your inner confident self. It's really eliminating that imposter syndrome through the lens of understanding that you don't have to be a researcher, you can be a scientist, and that's okay. You can build your confidence by really taking inventory of all the things that you've done already, besides just working in the lab. You're not defined by your pipette and how many times you've done a certain experiment. And the last thing is to really, again, trace all the failures or perceived failures and really look at your trajectory and feel grateful for how far you've come already. Okay, thank you so much for watching, for listening to this episode. Please let me know what you think, if it helps, which of those three topics resonated with you the most. I look forward to reading your comments and responding. Curious to know what you think, curious to help you. Really want to encourage anybody who is in the process of transitioning to biotech industry, reach out to me. Happy to set you on the right path, discover what is it that you want to do. If it's field application scientist career, that's amazing. If not, if you're not even sure where to start with biotech industry, how to educate yourself, that's great too. I have tons of great resources that I can recommend. I look forward to helping each and every one of you. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next episode. My name is Pavel, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.